Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This your boy Sam.
Yo, man, this is a back to back to back win edition of the Listen Up Podcast. Man, we stacking wins. We rolling. That's three wins in a row as Florida State beats the Fighting Wallabells and UMass 59-3. And as we're not really gonna talk very much about that game. But we will talk a little bit about it, but really more so looking ahead to what we got next week, man, in a rivalry game with a Clemson team that doesn't look nearly as unstoppable as we thought they did at the beginning of the season. Sam, man, you got any thoughts on last week's game? Last week.
Not really, man. Damn, UMass is terrible. But I'm happy we won. I'm happy we look good winning. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy with the progress, you know what I'm saying? I'm still, you know, we still got some concerns, but I think overall they playing to the team's strength, and you can get better doing that, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so yesterday's game, I didn't plan on watching it, right? But then I said, well, you know, I got Hulu Live now, so might as well take advantage of these benefits. So right. I put it on, didn't really have much to do or whatever, and kind of use it as background noise as I was sitting down with my mom. And she was like, boy, they beating them up. And it was what was funny was she doesn't know anything about football. So right. She was just watching just two teams or whatever play. And she was just like, yo, I don't know, but them boys is whooping they behind. And really what I thought about was it was two games in a row where they did what they were supposed to do. Right. They took the opponent serious. They imposed their will. They were more physical. They ran the football. And as much as I'm a discounter because it's UMass, it's still Florida State haven't done what they're supposed to do against a bad opponent in years. You know what I mean? Like I really was trying to figure out when the last time it was. And I think it was that I don't remember who it was, but I don't remember the name of the team, but when the furniture coached that last game right before Jimbo left, you know what I mean? Get him into the to get them to a bowl game or whatever. That was the last time I think I remember them playing an inferior opponent and then actually going out and winning the game. You know what I'm saying? And like doing what they were supposed to do. This is the other time, because again, whether it was ULM, UMass, Jacksonville State, no matter who it was, they seemed to struggle against bad teams and teams that they have no business being on the field, paycheck games essentially. Mm-hmm. And yesterday they didn't. They came out with a very strong purpose. I thought Walt Bell tried to do everything he could to try to make chicken salad out of what, you know what. It was bad. You know what I mean? They're a bad football team. But what you're supposed to do against bad football teams is exactly what they did. First time, they covered the spread easily. They wouldn't have had those 3 points if it wasn't for, Travis J fumbling opening kickoff. So, yeah, man. Like I'm very proud of what these guys did. I love the fact that they seem to really be coming together. And shout out to Jarvis Brownlee, man, getting a pick six. He dropped an early interception in the game, and I thought maybe it was kind of going to affect him a little bit, but he kept his head in it, man, and was able to get him a pick six. And he been playing real tough, man. And it's funny. Matter of fact, you said he should play more like that star position, that Jalen Ramsey position, so he's off ball, and he would play better. Seemed to be all over the field when he was put in that position. So shout out to the coaching staff for listening to the podcast and taking our advice. They did what they were supposed to do. No, I doubt that's what it is too. I just think they're still tinkering with the team. They're still tinkering with what they have and learning their personnel, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing, but the fact that they are doing it, I guess, says all right, at least they're willing to try something else. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, again, doing what you're supposed to do. As much as I would like to kind of just brush over it and say, all right, don't matter. It was UMass.
Oh, I think every win matters. You know, every win matters. You know what I'm saying? We can't ever get to a point where winning ain't a big deal anymore. I think we've been through enough really ugly Saturdays that all these wins, you know, they mean something at the end of the day.
Right. We got cherished wins. In other words, you know what I mean? We can't take no win for granted. We can't decide, oh, okay, well, this win don't really matter because it's UMass. No. We break the rock. Break the rock for UMass because everybody thought they was breaking the rock for Jacksonville State, and it didn't happen. So, I agree with you. You got to take advantage and celebrate all the wins because they've been few and far between for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For real. Yeah, man. But, I mean, what was did you have a big takeaway from the game?
2 weeks in a row, they were consistent. 2 weeks in a row, they leaned on what the identity was. Power football, being more physical. I think somebody, I don't remember the podcast or the site or whatever, but somebody, you know, they were number one leading nation the last 3 weeks nationally. As far as running the football, that's Mike. You know what I mean? That's what, if we thought nothing else about Mike, we knew Mike was going to be able to produce running backs. He currently has three running backs from Memphis that are in the NFL right now. Yeah. If nothing else, we knew he was going to be able to run the football. And so that's why we were so confused those first 4 weeks of the season, because for some reason they got away from what we believe they were supposed to do. Everybody knew you were going to run the football, so line up and run it. Let your running backs be good. You know what I mean? Let your running backs be great, really, because they're really showing between Ward and Corbin. They become a really good 1-2 punch. And that's what they did. They lined up. Nothing fancy. Nothing special about it. Go. Do what you're supposed to do.
This question here says, if the staff took this approach from the start, do we get drugged by Wake Forest? Yeah, I think we do. I think we still get beat like a drum by Wake Forest. I think.
I don't think we get beat by a drum. I still think we lose. I don't know if we get drugged by Wake Forest.
I think a lot of these games are about styles and matchups, and I think Wake Forest is the best team in the ACC. I don't think it's close. I mean, when you watch Wake Forest, the way they move the football up and down the field, they're well coached. They got a lot of older players on that team. I just styles make fights at the end of the day, right? You know, it's like with Clemson right now, right? That guy can't hit an open guy. When he hit the guy, they dropped the football. So if you play against that, you're going to be in the game because they have no rhythm and no confidence whatsoever on offense. You know what I'm saying? Wake Forest throttled that game down against us. They throttled down early in that game. Like, okay, it's over. Like,
here's why I say they don't get drugged though, right? Because if you look at
what do you think the score is? Because I think Wake Forest would have kept ramping it up.
I think you probably could have ended up with a 35-24 maybe.
I think it'd have been more like 45 or 55.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think they can get to 45 or 50 playing the style that they're playing now. It's running the football. That speeds up the game. It shortens the game. It allows basically you to not get blowed out. It's almost designed for you not to be blowed out. You know what I'm saying? I think if you're getting 4 and 5 yards, which I believe Corbin has shown he's going to get, Ward has shown he's going to get, I think you get that against anybody, right? So if you tell me those guys are still going to get those yards and then break off the big one every now and then, I do think you have a better chance of being in a game with Wake Forest. But I do think you were going to struggle to stop.
I think Wake Forest scored 70 points.
Wake Forest, regardless.
Wake Forest scored 70 points on 17 minutes time of possession yesterday. Oh, that's a stupid stat. You know what I'm saying? Crazy. Like that's how efficient they are. Crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just – I just think Wake Forest is a good team. You know what I'm saying? I think if you play against an efficient offense,
I can't knock it.
I think sometimes we kind of look at these games I said this because people. I'm not gonna lie, y'all kind of bullied me into talking about this having a podcast this week. Cause I was like, well, it's UMass. I'm no big deal. I'm not gonna really talk about this. And people were like, man, you gotta talk about the pod like UMass this. And I'm like, you don't really learn a whole lot when you play against UMass, right? Like, you learn something if you play bad, right? But you don't learn anything if you play good against. Like, if you play to the level of your team against UMass, it's not a lot you can glean from that, right?
Correct.
But I do
think didn't get better. Yeah, you didn't get better. Right.
But it does matter to the guys in the locker room to win this game against UMass, to blow them out like that. That means something. But like I've already said, Like I've always said, you can't take a one-game sample set, then take that game and then take all this momentum and good feelings into the next game. Like it just, to me, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just don't work like that to me. I think styles make fights. That's just what I believe. I believe styles just make the fights, you know?
So when you talk about styles then, how does our style match up against Clemson? We got that game coming up next week.
Well, there's a couple things. If Clemson decide they're gonna run DJ early, often, and make him more involved in the running game. If they decide they're gonna do that, then I think they have the chance Clemson could put up the 24 to 28 points that they need, right? But if Clemson keep trying to use this drop back play action throwing game that they're doing, then I think that I think it's going to be a 14 to 17, 21, 24 to 24, 24 to 17 game. I think we could beat them. If they continue with what they're doing, I think we can beat them. And I found something else interesting. I listened to Trent Dilfer talk about this earlier. Did you see that clip with Trent Dilfer talking about Clemson? What Trent Dilfer said that he said that Trevor Lawrence got worse at Clemson every year he was there. This is what Trent Dilfer said. He said mechanically wise, he was a much worse quarterback mechanically wise, and his ability to even read defenses. Clemson wasn't giving him enough and wasn't, you know, developing him enough within that offense. And then he said that DJ has gotten worse from last year. Now, when you really think about that, if you look at DJ from last year, DJ looked like a totally different quarterback than what he looked like this year. He looks worse.
1,000%.
So Trent Dilfer was saying that they're not properly developing the quarterback position, right? So I think that's a sign going forward, like, okay, they're not properly developed quarterback position. That's something you can use on a trail. And then you talk about you take the legs away. Trevor Lawrence is such a fast quarterback, and his ability to run and make 20-yard gains, 15-yard gains, and DJ can't do that. He only can make those runs turn into 5-yard gains. I think that changes everything in Clemson. No ETN, no game breakers. So a lot of them scoring is methodical drive. They're not very good methodically driving the football down the field. I think Florida State can actually win that game 24-20. I don't think it's crazy.
No, I 1,000% agree with you. Actually, I'm going to pick Florida State, too.
If they drop as many passes they drop against Pitt, dude, I mean, I don't see how we can't win.
That's all I'm gonna say, right?
They're dropping balls wide. Oh, I mean, they are dropping balls. The receivers don't wanna fight for catches. Like they look like us. They look like us.
Right. You know what it is though? They're a team that's not playing with confidence. You know what I'm saying? They're a team that has no confidence. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't believe in themselves.
They got no confidence in the quarterback. That's what that is.
And they have none. And that's what it is. What I'm saying is, when you said if they're gonna continue to drop him back. Yeah, and when you say are they gonna drop him back 8, you know, 30 times a game? Well, they've done it through 8 weeks. They somehow believe that that's their best offense. Don't know why, but they continue to do it. So I'm not gonna say today they're gonna not do it. You know what I mean? Next week they're gonna not do it. They've been doing it and they've decided they're gonna continue doing it. Do I think they continue? Yep. And do I think they lose? Yeah. I do not believe that they are a very good football team right now because their quarterback is not very good. And that staff around them, as good as they are, doesn't seem to have very many answers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're all of a sudden switching quarterbacks this week because clearly they don't, you know, I don't think whoever's behind them is any good either. Right. So now you're saying you're rolling out a quarterback who has no confidence, who's not playing well, with a running game that seems to be non-existent, which is weird, you know what I mean? Because all the transfers or whatever.
Well, their running backs got hurt. Shipley got hurt for 3 weeks. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
They had guys that transferred out, Bowman, but Bowman wasn't better than the other two guys. Those two guys got hurt throughout before the beginning of the camp. So they got like 14, 15 guys that are just hurt.
Yeah.
That was going to contribute. So, I mean, when you get down that much depth on your team, you missing 15, 14 guys that was going to contribute, well, then you're not that much better than a healthy Florida State team.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, right? Talent for talent, I would think that Clemson would be better. But like you said, once you lose that many guys, you talking about let's see, back channel said, yeah, NFL transfer portal, your quarterback gone. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that Clemson has lost that you asking them to basically be Bama. And I kept saying Clemson ain't Bama. You got a great you basically you had Deshaun Watson and followed that up with Trevor Lawrence, right? Well, those are two really, really, really good Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. So at this point, yeah, it's gonna be hard to lose when you got those at, you know, at the helm.
Right.
Well, DJ ain't that. You know, I mean, DJ ain't that. And so, in my opinion, they are NC State and they are Florida State and they are Miami. So I think if the confidence that Florida State will be playing with this week coming off of three straight wins, you look at the fact and you say they clearly have decided they're gonna run the football. They're gonna run the football, they're coming downhill, they're gonna be physical at the point of contact. And then they're going to hit it deep once you know, start committing to the run. Once they get to that place, in my opinion, I think Florida State has – I don't think they should be favored, but I do think they win the game.
I think – see, it's going to be a close game because Florida State is not very explosive either, right? And Clemson not very explosive. So I can see a lot of – if I'm Norville, I coach it like an NFL game. I just try not to make a mistake. And I just try to see what happened in the fourth quarter, you know, see if some of their habits come to the front in the beginning, at the end of the, and, you know, once we get them into the fourth quarter. I'm trying to keep the game close as humanly possible.
Have them understand. As long as these guys understand, a punt ain't the worst thing. You know what I mean? Giving it back to them ain't the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean? At this point, if you get two, three first downs and got to punt them and pin them deep, cool. That's a win for you. You know what I mean? That's a win. Yeah. I do think one thing I really like is these cornerbacks and linebackers playing with a lot of confidence. You know what I mean? One thing we needed was for them to kind of build up a little bit. They've been bad. Yesterday, I thought they, as a whole, that whole back half played their best game. Again, with a lot of, in my opinion, tricky. Now, again, their quarterback ain't very good as UMass. But they still were able. They were in the right position to make plays. And then they capitalized on them. You know what I mean? Right. We saw Williams with a pick. Brownlee with a pick. Like, once you get to that point where your playmakers are making plays, that's what you want, because then that builds confidence. I guarantee you Brownlee coming in this game. In other words, I think this team early in the season didn't think they had a chance to beat Clemson. I think they're coming in believing, oh, no, we beating Clemson. And that's a completely different mindset, and I think they play like it. You know what I mean? I think they play like it. I think the coaches coach like it. And in my opinion, I think it will lead to a win.
Yeah. I think they it's hard for me to pick them to win, but I do think they win. I do. I think they win. You know what I'm saying? I think that we got to be better on special teams. Special teams scare me. Special teams scare the crap out of me. I need us to be better on special teams. I don't know why we so bad on special teams either.
I don't know why. I really don't. I have no clue why.
I know they commit a lot of time and practice to special teams, so I don't know why they so bad on special teams.
Well, again, that's another one of those Mike Norvell staples. You know what I mean? Like his teams are always one. You know what I mean? They always number one in special teams. Like, I don't know if – you know, and honestly, I think it may be a depth thing. You know what I mean? Like, I think he may want to be able to put other guys on the special teams but scared that they get injured.
But these same guys was playing special teams last year. They was better on special teams last year. They was better on special teams last year. This is terrible. So, I don't know, man. And then Travis J, let me see here. I don't want to see Travis J. I really wonder what the hell happened to Travis J. I'm like lost on that whole, like, what happened to Travis J thing? Because, like, this guy was like a really good DB, and now it's like he's shitting all over himself.
Man, every week. I've gotten kicked off.
Between Travis J and Akeem Dent, I don't know what happened to those guys, man. So, that's kind of aggravating, man. Let me go to the next question. If the FSU wins it, is it program changing? I don't know. I don't know, man. I will say that as far as FSU winning this game, I don't know how much it really changes because it's like the whole state of Florida is so far down. The whole state of Florida sucks. So it's like, do we really think – I mean, because do we beat Miami? I'm kind of concerned about the Miami game. Do you beat Florida? I don't think you beat Florida. Clemson's shitty, but, I mean, theoretically, you don't really recruit against Clemson like that much, to be honest with you. They kind of out-recruit you in certain areas, but, I mean, we're not in a real fights with Clemson certain it would be program changing if we won the Clemson game and then we went into the ACC championship game. I think that would be a big damn deal. But I don't know. Yeah. Travis J is pissing down his leg. Travis J is horrible. We don't lost Brandon. Let me see if he coming back. Okay, he coming back right now. But nah, I don't know if it changes. I don't know if beating Clemson is program changing, man. I just think that you need.
Wait, what you say now?
Beating Clemson, would it be program changing? I don't think it will be. I just think because, well, the only reason I say it won't be a program change because does it put you in the ACC championship game? Do you win the Atlantic?
That's not the goal for the season. The goal for the season was to get to a bowl game.
I'm saying though, if we talk.
First of all, beating a rival is always important.
My point is, I'm not saying it won't be important to win. He's saying program changing. Does that change the trajectory of the program? I don't think it does. I think this rebuild is what this rebuild is. And I mean, I can go into the reasons why that is, but I'm not downing anybody. I'm just saying. We see a lot of teams flip these rebuilds very quickly, right? Like Michigan State has flipped it very fast, right? Some other teams kind of flipped it. Dan Mullen flipped it pretty fast when he got
Michigan
there.
State flipped it, yeah.
Right, but I think for you to do that, you have to have relationships. You have to build relationships.
And I think that's what – but they've done that, though, no?
But I think some of these other coaches have long-standing relationships. So
you what coaches are you talking about, though? Because Dan ain't doing nothing in Florida with the relationships that he got.
But it's not about – I'm not talking about Florida in general. We talking about flipping the program. So you're trying to tell me we're going to go from 6 wins this year, we beat Clemson, then next year we had a 10 wins? Because that's a flip. You can't say you flip the program, you win 6 games, then you win 7 the next year. That's not flipping it. I don't.
But I think you get the 9. But I think you get the 9. But I think you can get the 9, though.
Is that a flip?
That's all I'm saying. We was at 3 and expecting to win 1 this year. Yeah, that's a flip. If you get the, Jimbo wins this year, 9 next year. Yeah, so you Jimbo flipped won, it. You won three games last year.
They won 7 games. They won 7 games under Jimbo, under Bobby. The next year he went 10. He won 10 games. That's a flip. They played in the ACC championship game.
That's an immediate flip. It's a longer. It's not like a somersault, but it's a. I mean, it's a flip.
You trying to so Mike would have been in the program for 3 years. And you trying to
and have gotten
for,
to 9 wins.
If
you
three
tell
years,
me he was in the program for 3 years and have gotten to 9 wins, yeah, he has flipped the program. It took him a lot longer, and he didn't do it the way I would have done it. But he
so
still
that's
did
interesting.
It.
So that's interesting, right? That's interesting. So going from 3 wins, which is horrible and a fireball offense, to 6 wins. You're flipping it at Florida State.
No, I didn't say this year.
I'm just curious. We were talking about this year.
Listen, last year, the way they were last year and the way they were early in this season was inexcusable, right? Mm-hmm. But if you tell me he can get to 6 wins by the end of this season somehow, after we didn't think they were going to win more than 1 or 2, he can somehow get the 6 wins. He has turned this season around. Forget about the flip.
Okay.
And next season, you tell me they can hit 9. Yeah, he has flipped. He has flipped the trajectory of where this team can go. That means with a nine win FSU team, it's top 5 in recruiting.
So
they top 10 now.
They what?
They top 10. What are they, 11? Are they 11 right now?
They ain't top 10 in recruiting. I mean, they don't lost 3 players. They lost a 4-star.
I thought last they looked, they were at 11. No, I understand what you're saying. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about their ability to flip. That will be a flip.
I would consider. See, I guess I'm different because Michigan State won 2 games last year. Now they're almost at 10 games this year. To me, that's a flip.
Yes.
Like you flipped that was not an incremental build. That was not like a slow build. Like to me, we're in a slow build. We're in a 3.
But last year they didn't count, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't believe that.
I'm just curious about that. I do think that sounds weird.
I said that sounds weird because it's a slow, rusty flip.
It's a slow bill. It's a brick by brick bill.
Okay, well, I mean, Bill, yeah. Flip, they are headed trending.
No, my thing is, when you say flip, you're talking about
right, like it's what a cartwheel. What A6 37 on TV say? He say it's a cartwheel. It ain't a flip. It's like, a cartwheel.
It's like what Urban Meyer did. Like, you go from 7 wheels, they fired your boy, to like he's at 11 wheels. Like, he was at 10 wheels right. Like the next season. Then he was at a national championship.
Yeah,
game,
but Mike ain't that good, though.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying what I consider flips. I don't consider an incremental 3-win, 5-win, 7-win, 8-win. I don't consider it a flip. That's, to me, you're just making progress, right? You're just incrementally building the program.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean,
they're incrementally building the program. What I'm saying is, literally everybody will be celebrating if they get the 9 wins. We'll all say that Florida State back.
They celebrate everything though. They celebrate Mackenzie Milton telling the other starting backup quarterback that he can go in over them. Like, they celebrate everything. We celebrating backup quarterbacks that can't play. We celebrate everything. I'm not docking it. I'm just saying we celebrate everything.
Well, I ain't even looking at that. They paint these stories into being a whole lot more than what they are. I mean, again, do I think that he went over to him and told Coach, hey, Coach, don't play me, play Chubb? No, I do not. I don't believe that. I'm sorry, whatever it is.
Brandon, I don't know what's going on with your internet,
whoever said
man.
It, whatever. No, I don't believe that ever happened. I don't believe that ever happened. It didn't happen. I mean, it didn't happen, man. We knew McKenzie wasn't playing no more the last time he took that jersey off and didn't play. I mean, we all know that, and you know, whatever.
We having a flipping good time on this podcast. No, but 1,000%. I think you watch.
You're right. We're no longer. He had not flipped the program. He cartwheeled it.
And like, it's funny because Mike Norvell flipped it from when he was bad to now he averaged bad now. So he's flipped it from his 3 wins to his now, I think we got a chance to win 6 games. Right? So that's good. That's a good thing. But I just don't think programs.
I mean,
changing.
If you tell me they get the 6 wins, they get to a bowl game and win the bowl game. That's 7 wins in a year that we thought they were gonna win one. I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, I didn't.
But before the
2 weeks
season,
ago, 3 weeks ago, I would have never thought it. Even after the Syracuse game, I didn't think they were gonna get. I still didn't because I didn't think that win was very impressive either.
But let's go. Okay, so before the season, right? Before the season, we all projected
before the season
5, 6, 7 wins. Right? We said that it was enough talent on this team to win 6 or 7 games if you manage it correctly. Right? They mismanaged it terribly early in the season. They got off to an 0-4 start. Fucking horrible. Horrible start, right?
Right.
Now, before the so-called hard part, of your schedule, you've played better because you played against UMass. North Carolina is not what we thought North Carolina was. Clemson ain't what we think Clemson is. And all that's fine. Like, still, win the game. That's important. So we look at it, and now it seems like the back half of your schedule might be actually a little bit easier than what the front half of your schedule was. Why? Because Wake Forest.
That's wild. Yeah.
Right. Because Wake Forest is now like the Clemson, but instead of being the back part, they're in the front part of the schedule. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
BC is being ravaged with injuries right now. So, you know.
Lost a lot of good players.
Yeah. So, I mean, now you got a chance to beat BC. Now you got to. I'm still iffy on Miami because the way FSU fans and the way the FSU media talks about Miami, and what I see when I watch Miami are two totally different things. I don't see a team that's laying down. I don't see a team that's giving up that don't know what they're doing. I see a team that lost their starting quarterback, you know what I'm saying, that's had some injuries they've dealt with, and they got some younger guys playing. And to me, those younger guys seem to be playing with more and more confidence every week. So I actually think Miami might be a tougher game a little bit late, because like Chance Williams looked really good to me yesterday. Chance Williams looked good.
I think defensively Miami is very good. I think defensively Miami is very good.
Well, so offensively, if you look at them offensively, look at them offensively. Knighton looks pretty damn explosive. That quarterback can really throw the ball pretty good. You know what I'm saying? He's not as bad as people make talk about him being. I just think that what we think Miami is, I think Miami might be a little bit better than what we think they are. You know what I'm saying? I think Miami have played a really tough schedule in the front part of their schedule. They play Alabama, Michigan State. Both of those teams are top 10, top 5 teams right now. You know what I'm saying? Michigan State is like a top 17. So, I mean, Miami got beat by them like a drum. They got beat. They got beat by North Carolina. We beat the shit out of North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think if we didn't have our starting quarterback, which is Jordan Travis, we look like shit too. So you take their starting quarterback away, they look like shit. Now it seems like Van Dyke is starting to play a little bit better. I think that might be a better game than what we assume is going to be. I don't think Miami's laying down. Like, I didn't get the feeling they was laying down watching them yesterday and the end of the week before that. I didn't get the feeling they was laying down. I just got the feeling they dealing with a young quarterback, you know?
No, I 100% agree with you.
I'm not saying we're going to win, but I'm just saying, like it's just the perceptions of all that shit is just kind of weird to me because you watch these teams, you know, it's just weird. It's just weird when you watch them. I was like, well, that's just weird to me.
Listen, I think it's very simple, in my opinion. Miami, I think, is really, really, I don't want to say balanced, but they do the things they do well is what they do well. In other words, I think they play really good defense, and I think they got an identity of what they're trying to do. Do I think they do it well and consistently every single time? No.
Yeah.
But neither do we, right? So, I think it looks like Clemson. I think we're pretty much playing Clemson twice, in my opinion.
It's neither more of a 50-50 game than it was a 70-30 game. Right.
Yeah, same thing with Clemson. I think both this Clemson and Miami game are both very similar. And I think both are going to be pretty close. Both are fourth-quarter games. And they got a chance to pull. And I think the team who makes the fewest mistakes wins both of them. I believe if we can get some turnovers on defense, special teams somehow comes together, I believe we beat Clemson. And I think the exact same thing against Miami. You maybe some special teams can make a play here and there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Put you in a short yardage situation, you know, after timeout, after the half, you know, quick score, stuff like that.
Right.
Those, in my opinion, I think will lead to wins against Miami and Clemson. Do I think we beat both of them? I think if you beat Clemson, I think the confidence that this team plays with will be sky high. I do think you beat Miami. Yeah, I do. I think if they beat Clemson, which again is a big if, Clemson is still Clemson. But if they beat Clemson, which I believe they will, I think the confidence is going to be very high going in. And so I do think you then come to a situation where that Miami Florida State game looks a whole lot different.
Yeah, I think I do think they're going to beat Clemson for some reason.
I do too.
I think we beat Clemson. The Miami game scares me a little bit. I don't think they beat Florida. If Richardson is going to play in that game, I don't know if we get enough stops in that game in particular. But I think everything kind of really hinges on Jordan Travis staying healthy. If he stays healthy, I think all these games are 50-50.
Yeah.
And
no.
I think the Boston College game moves more 60-40 in your favor.
Yeah, because, I mean, both their linebackers out. You know what I mean? If both their linebackers done for the season, you finna run the ball up the gut, which is, you know, that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That gives an advantage, in my opinion, to Florida State.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't feel the same way about Boston College. I don't feel the same way about North Carolina State. Even I think North Carolina State may have had just a bad game. I still think they challenge us in some areas where that defensive front is still gonna be a little tough.
I think the thing with NC State that scares me is those crossing routes that they run.
Yeah,
are very, because they run. They seem like they run that shit every play too, man. God damn, they run.
Yeah, put on Cubby real quick, and I was gonna talk about that earlier. One of the things as well that I saw, penalties, man. Penalties have absolutely gone down. But like you, exactly right. When you're not in pass protection, you're running the ball less holding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they don't throw the ball nearly as much. When they do, he basically got one read. All right, they ain't there. Go. You know what I mean? Like, they've really dumbed down the offense, which is great, because that's what they should have been doing.
Yeah.
You know what you got with Jordan Travis. Line up, run the football, put those linebackers in conflict every single time. He either going to pull it, he going to take it. You might lose a few yards one time if they scheme it perfectly. But what you see is you're going to win more than you lose.
Yeah.
So the nine-man box.
So they said NC State. Like I said, I think the NC State crossing route scared me to death. I don't know. Especially if they decide to play Lundy as much as they play in Lundy. With those crossing routes, I think that's a bad, bad, bad matchup.
I agree.
I don't really trust us running the football against them. We're going to need a little bit more balance to run the football against them, in my opinion. Because I think they can probably stop the run with five instead of loading the box. And if they don't have to load the box to stop the run, that means they'll have more linebackers that'll be able to flow to those gaps when we do all that pulling plays that we do. Mm-hmm. So that bothers me a little bit. Because, I mean, ideally you want a team to commit to stopping the run to really break those long runs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If that makes sense.
Listen, that counter play that they run with Ward is a wonderful play. Like, if you just, I mean, from top to bottom, you could tell they've mastered it. Jimbo had a very similar play that they would run with. I'm so bad with names. Give me Wilder, with James Wilder, or whatever. And I think it's the way Ward runs it is so, it's perfect. You know what I'm saying? We saw him score on it. It looked very much, you know, Wilder versus Clemson late in the game. So in my opinion, man, I look at it and I say,
I would like to see them incorporate a little bit more Cam McDonald to the passing game, especially on first downs.
They used him a lot more yesterday. You know what I mean? They used him a lot more yesterday in a lot of different situations as well. I think that continue. Again, they're doing what Jordan Travis does well, man. Get the ball out quick. Don't you know, you ain't got a lot of reads. Take off and run when you need to. Don't hold the ball very long, because we ain't got no long developing routes. Just, you know what I mean? Just go and do what you've been doing and what you do well. What's up, Nixie? You know what I mean? Do what you do well. And that's why I believe the penalties are down. It's why they look more fluid on offense. And again, we can downgrade it and say it's UMass, but this is the second week in a row where they did exactly what they wanted to do, what they planned on doing, and they did it both weeks. Both, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could see this is what they – and this is why those first few weeks were so frustrating, because, again, this is what we thought the offense was going to be. It wasn't. And I'm glad they're doing it now. And I do think they continue on next week.
I think so too, man. I think so. I think we, like I said, I think I think it's 5 games left, 4-1 possible, 3-2 likely.
3-2 probably likely.
Yeah,
I would think Florida, NC State are gonna be tough. Yeah, are gonna be tough. But I think they go back to back with this one.
I think you're going out there with very similar teams down the stretch in some of these games. So I do think it's going to give us a pretty good barometer of what Norvell is coaching in game, because I do think a lot of these teams, the matchup player for player is going to be very similar, because these teams are dealing with a lot of injuries. Miami, Clemson, BC. So, now they had all their guys. Yeah, I don't think talent for talent, we're much better than them. But because of all the injuries they're dealing with, I think talent for talent, we are on par with those teams. So, I think if we coach it up good, man, I think it's a chance we could go 4-1, 3-2 down the stretch. And I think if you go 3-2 down the stretch, man, I mean, don't that put you in a bowl?
That does put you in a bowl. That puts you in a bowl game. And, you know, with a matchup that you'll probably be favorable.
It is kind of aggravating too, because it's like, if you would have not been playing around with McKenzie Miller so early in the season and committed to being what you was in that Notre Dame game and started off.
And probably Louisville, yeah.
You probably beat Louisville. Maybe you beat – well, you definitely beat Jacksonville State. So, you literally could have had like an 8-win season.
Right.
And then I would have said that flipped pretty fast, because going from 3 wins to 8 wins is a pretty big deal to me. That's a 5-game swing.
Right. So then you would have been able to get that flip out there, not cartwheels.
Nah, yeah. Instead of, you know, I would have said it was a flip.
Yeah, man. No, for real. Like – you say AR needs to transfer before Thanksgiving. I don't think he's gonna transfer before Thanksgiving. Even though I ain't gonna lie to you, I don't know how great their situation is down there in Gainesville. I'm not sure how long Mullen is. There's a lot of stuff going on in Gainesville.
I hear a lot of
really
things
sit
about
well with me. I'm gonna see what happened with this Georgia game, and then I'll determine what I really believe.
They're gonna go out there and fight and play hard, but I mean, at the end of the day,
Georgia gonna dog them, yeah.
Yeah,
Georgia gonna dog them.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? I guess we can have like another like 15-minute conversation about just college football in general. It's like this season is wild, man. It's wacky, man. Because
nobody's great but Georgia.
Other than Georgia, nobody's great. And even with Oklahoma, man, they got Caleb Williams, and he was playing good that game against TCU, yeah, Texas Christian. So he played really great against them, and then I watched him last week against Kansas. They just can't get anything going, and then you watch Bama against Tennessee. Nick Saban's like a fucking wild man. He's so fucking over and done with that team. Like, he don't like the way they compete right now, And it's just not a lot of great teams. Like, damn, man, if you could have just won 8 games this year, you would have looked like that's aggravating because you could have had a chance to win 8 games.
And
you probably could have got some of those recruits that, you know, people be like, French guys, Kevin Coleman's and all these other guys, which they say Coleman might come. I hope he do. But I think you could have really locked up a really
solid. We were expecting five wins. Yeah, we were expecting the top 5 class based on the fact that, you know, you were going to keep this class together with 6 to 7 wins. Mm. Now you're going to have to fight to keep it together or whatever. I do think wins over Clemson, wins over Miami, even maybe a tough, you play Florida tough or whatever. You know, it does it. I've been saying that for the longest. Listen, y'all like Mullen, y'all, you know, and so I got to lean back because he wins or whatever
it's
it is.
It's not a like Mullen thing. It's just that when you
I've been saying he's a joke, man. Again, he is great at what he does. He schemes guys open. He's a wonderful offensive play caller, and he is also a clown. The same way I believe Dabo Sweeney is also a clown. Like,
name a coach that's not, though. Name the coach, the CEO coach that's not a fucking clown.
I think there's a lot of coaches that are not clowns.
Who? Name one. Nick Saban. Name another one. Kirby jumps around like a crazy person on defense all day long.
I don't think that's clownish behavior. I'm talking about those press conferences would be clownish. It's what you get with press conferences, the after game stuff. It's the stuff you do, you know, really not even during the game. It's the outside of the game. Because I don't think anything Dabo has done that on the field really that says he's, you know, a clown. It's always off the field stuff. It's always the shirt at the wrong time. Football Matters shirt at the wrong time while Black Lives Matter going on.
Right.
It's, you know, the MLK quotes. It's just stupid stuff. You know what I mean? It's that stuff that made me say this dude's a clown. You know what I mean? Like, Mel Tucker, in my opinion, don't get up there and say crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Mel Tucker gets in there, answers the question, and goes on about his business.
Yeah.
It's that, you know what I mean? Like that Dan Mullen with these crazy comments and stuff like that. That's the stuff that kind of he gets out after wins and we outgained him in yardage. Who cares, man? Nobody want to hear that. You just lost. You lost to a bad LSU team. Nobody cares nothing about you gaining more yards, more time of possession. You know what I mean? They know about the points on the scoreboard. So in my opinion, like I said, Dan Mullen is a absolute clown of a coach when it comes to just his off the field stuff. The same thing I feel about Dabo Swinney. I wish they weren't, you know what I mean? But I'm glad they are because it helps Florida State because we right now are down. And so if they had competent coaches, we'd be in this hole a lot longer.
Right, right. That's true. Well, you know, man, this was a great pod. Man, I got to give it to y'all, man. Y'all bullied us onto the podcast this week. Turned out
to be all right, yeah.
Yeah, because I really was not finna come over here and talk about UMass and do this. I wasn't doing that. But y'all bullied me into the podcast, man. I'm happy to get back. I know we'll get them out, especially after that Clemson game. We'll get the – what time is that game? Is that 3:30 game?
It's a 3:30 game, so we'll probably end up with an instant reaction podcast.
We might be the instant react.
Yeah, I think we're probably instant reaction. If it's a win, you know, we definitely gonna have some fun with it. If it's a loss, then we'll break it down as well. But I imagine we'll probably be back with instant reaction.
You know, it's crazy because I hate doing those instant reactions after the 3:30 games because I want to watch the 8:00 games.
I mean, it ain't got to be long. It ain't got to be long.
I didn't.
Oh yeah, man, hit the like button, man. Whoever said yes, listen. We normally start off the podcast, man. But y'all loyal, man. We know how y'all in here. listen, man, hit the button, man. Rate, review, subscribe. Retweet, tweet, send us messages, whatever it is, man. Spotify, Apple, whatever, all the platforms we own them. Hit the like button, man. Hit the like button. We appreciate it. Our subscribers keep growing.
We've went up a lot over the last month. I was looking at the numbers the other day. The numbers are going up.
So clearly y'all are out there. Yeah. So clearly y'all are, you know, hitting that follow button. You're telling your friends and family to hit that follow button, man, and we appreciate it for real. So, you know, stick with us, man. Stick with us. We'll be back, man. Again, I think you got two people here both predicting wins against Clemson. That's surprising because I know 4 weeks ago I would have never thought that, but no, man. Good job to Mike and staff, man.
They got Clemson -10. Favorite -10.
I think we beat them.
High number for me for some reason. I feel like it's a little too high.
Oh no, that's gonna get bet down. I believe that'll get bet down it'll probably get closer to 6 by the time it'll be down to 6 by the time the game starts. But anyway, like I say, we here, man. We here. We gonna win it. It's Clemson Hate Week, man. Rate, review, subscribe. We out.
All right, man. Yep.
Yep.
Boy.
You deserve to listen up podcast. Yep.
Them big.